Good morning. Y'all sound good this morning, by the way. Must be that hospitality challenge. Got y'all hyped up. Look, I'm up here playing, and as I'm playing, I'm always praying for you and listening to the Spirit of God and asking Him, you know, what is it that the people need today? You know? Just letting the Spirit speak to my heart. And as I'm up there playing and singing these songs, if there's anything that I could tell you this morning, like, that I want you to grab hold of, is that Jesus loves you. Like, the Spirit just impressed on my heart that in this room, there are people going through 1,000 things. Some of them really, really good, maybe the best moments of your life. And some people in this room may be going through maybe some of the worst moments in your life. And I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that Jesus is with you and that He is for you. If there's anything that I would want you to grab onto this morning, it's that. And maybe it's out of this study of the Good Shepherd. You know, we've talked about Jesus as the bread of life. Do you remember this? That He satisfies everything your heart hungers for. What does your heart hunger for? Jesus Christ will satisfy that. We talked about Jesus as the light, that He illuminates every single part of our heart. Even like the worst parts of our heart and the best part, He illuminates that in our lives. And He doesn't illuminate the bad parts of our heart to like shake His finger at us, but to redeem it, to bring life to it, to bring closure, to bring help to the pain. We talked about last week Jesus being the door. He says, "I am the door." And we talked about how Jesus is a leader that we can follow. We are all looking for a leader to follow, right? Like we vote for the President of the United States because we want a leader that will lead us and we can follow. But we know it doesn't matter what president we have, he's going to ultimately fail us. But Jesus Christ is a leader that will absolutely never fail you. Never one time. He has never failed us. His promises are always true. And you can't find that anywhere else but in Him. You absolutely can't. And today we get to look at one of my favorite I Am statements, where we've looked at Jesus as kind of like this leader. It feels like a lot of times we're okay with the deity of God, like He is God, I am not, that whole statement, and He's upstairs and I'm down here kind of doing His thing. But Jesus was a person. And Jesus had a heart for His people. And today we're going to look at Jesus as the Good Shepherd. His heart on display for you. For every person in this room and every person in the world, He says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I am the one who is here to love you." And so where all the rest of them, you can't really have a relationship with. You can't have a relationship with a door. You know, you can talk to a door all day, but chances are the door is not going to talk back. And if it does, hey, we might want to talk about that. With bread, you can't have that kind of relationship or any of the others I Am statements. But with the shepherd, you have a relationship. He is a person. He is a person that has come to save you and to be with you and to be gentle and lowly towards you. This is His heart. And I would argue that if you don't know Jesus as gentle and lowly, that it's hard to know Jesus at all. And Jesus as the Good Shepherd, He is gentle and He is lowly towards you. If you have your scriptures, John chapter 10, verse 11 through 21, we're going to read this together and we're going to hop into it this morning. John chapter 10, verse 11 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees after He just got done healing a blind man. He says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays His life down for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not in this fold, and I must bring them in also, that they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay my life down that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And there was again division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He is a demon. He is insane. Why listen to him?" And others, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Man, these are good words to us. These are good words for our heart. We have a good shepherd who lays his life down for us. And when I read this, man, I love the Good Shepherd part of this. The I Am statement is my favorite one of all of them. But as I studied it this week, I got to thinking, you know, Jesus is the Good Shepherd, but he calls us something in this story. You know what he calls us? Sheep. Now, at first pass, I'm like, cool, you know, bye-bye black sheep, have you any wool, you know, like, I like this idea, you know, of being a sheep. But then I started studying sheep. Have you ever studied sheep before? Well, I did. I took some time to do a deep dive on sheep, and I learned some things that may sway you a little bit different. It certainly did for me. Here's some characteristics of sheep. You ready for this? All right. Sheep, number one, they are prone to wander. They are prone to wander. They literally need someone to lead them. If a sheep is not tended to, he will easily like wander off from the pack. If they don't watch him, you have to have dogs, right, to bring in the flock constantly. You got to put them in the fold. You have to hold them in. They are so prone to wander. In fact, there's this particular sheep. I'll throw it on the screen here. His name is Shrek. And sheep, look at this guy. All right. This dude wandered off from a fold of 17,000 sheep. He was one that wandered off. And he wandered off in a cave in New Zealand and stayed there for 5 years. Never once said, maybe I should go back with my crew. You know, maybe I should go and get this sheared off of me, all right? By the time they found him, he had almost 100 pounds of wool on him. All right, literally almost died under the own weight of his wool. They sheared him. He became a national treasure in New Zealand. They, like, praised him. He got all these awards and stuff. It was crazy. But he wandered off, and he never came back. He, like, hid in a cave. Sheep are also timid. They're anxious and they're easily fearful. Sound familiar? That's where we get the term, oh, you're being sheepish, you know, or sheep, when you scare them, what do? They like jump straight up in the air, you know. And if there's one sign of disruption, they take off running. They easily flee. So they're timid and anxious. I found out that they easily follow the crowd. They have this like mob mentality, you know. Once one takes off running, the rest all run the same way. They don't know why they're running that way. They're just running. And you've ever heard the phrase, like, mom said, you know, you're doing something with your friends, and if your friends would jump off the bridge, would you do it? You do it too? And the sheep are like, yes, I would. Absolutely. I'm a sheep. Does it sound familiar to you to have the mob mentality? What about when it snows? You ever go to the bread aisle? You ever go to that? We, for some reason, have to get bread. I do not know why we have to go get bread, but we do it. What about toilet paper and COVID? Why did we buy so much toilet paper? I can't eat toilet paper. I could do just a couple of things with it, you know? Like, why was the toilet paper all gone? We have this same mentality. In Eastern Turkey, there's a story about 1,100 sheep. One sheep was scared. Actually, the start of the story, the shepherds decided they're going to go to breakfast. We'll talk about the hired hand in a minute. But they all go to breakfast. They're like, the sheep will be fine. One sheep gets scared, takes off running, jumps off a cliff, and all 1,100 sheep follow him, every single one of them. 400 die, 700 live, because they say, you know, the 400 that pass away is just like big pillow on the ground. All these sheep are like jumping off the side, right? But like one took off running, and everyone ran the same way, and no one stopped to say, hey, should we be, like, they're going off a cliff. Should we stop here? I'm not sure. All right, I'm going, you know? They're also defenseless. Sheep have no venom. They have no canine teeth. They have no claws. They literally have nothing. When they're feeding on the ground, they can only see in 2D. They can't see in 3D, so they're like really prone to attack. And all they've really got, a domesticated sheep, all they can do is run in a straight line. They like take off running in a straight line. They can't go zigzag. They can't do nothing. They're just taking off running. Sheep are extremely needy. They're the neediest animals in the animal kingdom. At least that's what I have, that's all the things I've read. They are so needy. In fact, when a sheep, you've ever heard of this, they get cast is the word. They fall on their back and their legs are straight up in the air. They will literally die that way because they can't flip themselves back over. They have to have a shepherd or somebody come over and flip them over. That's how needy sheep are. Now, if I told you there was a person that easily wanders, that's defenseless, that's afraid really easy, that's really needy, how many of us would voluntarily be like, hey, I want to hang out with that guy? You know what I mean? Like, let me hang out with them. But Jesus said, you are my sheep. And you who are defenseless and needy, and you who easily wander and are afraid, I am your shepherd. And I'm not just any shepherd, but I am the good shepherd. And when he was speaking to the Pharisees, he would have got their attention. Because the word shepherd back then, we don't really know that as a job right now, but back then shepherd was something that they would have all been thinking about. And he used the word good shepherd. It's a common language. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and of course David, they were all shepherds, and that would have resonated with the Jewish people of the time. In fact, in the Bible, if you go through it, cattle are in there 131 times, dogs are in there 41 times, you dog lovers out there. Eagles are in there 26 times. Now, cats, they didn't make it. I'm sorry if you love cats. They're not in the Bible. The domesticated cat, I'm sorry about that. But sheep and shepherd are in there over 500 times. 500 times. This is an important thing that we need to grab onto when we understand the heart of Jesus. And so when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, their minds would have went back to Ezekiel 34, 1 through 5. This is a prophetic word through Ezekiel to the people of the time. And I will read this one brief part. It's not going to be on the screen, but this is what it said. This is the word of the Lord came through Ezekiel, and it said, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourself, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with wool, and you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, and the stray you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beasts. The Pharisees and the Jewish people at the time, like I said last week, they were looking for this leader. They were looking for this shepherd to come and to rule once and for all. And if you read back down through 34, God begins to speak through Ezekiel saying, God will search for the sheep. God will feed the sheep. God will rescue his sheep. The lost he will seek. The stray he will bring back. The broken he will mend. And the sick he will heal. And this will come through the good shepherd. This is the prophetic word that Jesus, a Messiah, would come and would be the good shepherd they longed for. The Messiah language here for that one true shepherd. You've been scattered and wounded, and I send Jesus to you, the good shepherd, to bind you up and to give you life. Now, like I said before, this I am statement is one of the most personal to us. Because he is saying something certainly about us as sheep, but he's also saying something about his heart for us. And I think a lot of times when we read the scripture, and I mentioned this earlier, we are okay with God being God, but there he was a person. Jesus was a person that walked on this earth. And he says some specific things about his heart for us through the entire chapter 10, the first part, first 18, 19 verses. And I want to identify some of these things for you. Jesus, he tends to the anxious and the needy and the wandering and defenseless. Does that describe any of you today? Anxious, needy, wandering, defenseless. describes me. We need a shepherd like this. And here are some things that Jesus says about him as the good shepherd. Jesus, for us, if we are his sheep, he will identify the dangers to the flock. He's going to identify the danger. He's going to tell us what dangers might come and try to pull us away. Do you ever feel like you're the enemy or someone or something or the news or whatever is trying to pull you away from believing that Jesus is the only way? He's the way that can get us through. He talks about thieves and robbers. Do you remember that from last week? This external threat to the flock. Look at verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that they may have life and have it to the full or to abundantly. And the thieves and the robbers were people he was identifying that believed that there was some other way to righteousness. There was some other way to right living, that you could follow all of these rules to get attention from God. And Jesus said, I've loved you from the very beginning. It's not about doing, it's about being. You don't have to get my attention. You have my attention because I made every single part of you. Jesus, he rejects the belief that you have to do all of these things through the cross and the resurrection, because he died for you. Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, even in our midst. And so he said, there are going to be external dangers to us. There's going to be thieves and robbers. There is going to be news shows and people around us. There's going to be social media around us. It's going to try to pull us away to make us believe there is some other way to righteousness. Don't follow it. He identifies wolves. Look at verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them away. Have you ever watched the Discovery Channel? I've mentioned this before. When there's like a pack of lions or even hyenas and stuff, and they're coming on, a pack of gazelles, I believe. And they find the weakest one, right? What happens? They like circle it. They keep circling, isolate it, and they pull it away, and they scatter the flock so they can easily make prey. They can easily kill. And this is not different from what Jesus is saying the wolves do here. Come and scatter. And in the Greek, you'll learn that the wolf here is a predator. It is someone that is a complete enemy that wants to, the only thing it wants to do is to kill. And Jesus, he identifies the wolves in front of us, the enemy who wants to lie to us, to believe lies about who he is or about who we are. And he doesn't only identify that, but he gives us something in response. He gives us his church. He gives us the bride of Christ, so we don't have to do it alone. This is why this is so important. He gives us the Holy Spirit to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And he gave us his word to fill our hearts with his promises, so that when these lies are present, we can easily bring truth to them. And then he talks about the hired hand. Same verse, verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves and flees. Now, this would be a bad shepherd, right? Like this would be like, as soon as they see a threat, the bad shepherd's like, I'm out, right? And Jesus tells us in the scripture that he owns us. Like we're in his flock, that he owns us. And what I've learned in my own life is we take better care of what we own than what we don't. You know why? Because when I was like 22, I went on a honeymoon and I got to rent a car. And I got this Jeep Wrangler and I hot rodded that thing to death. All right. Like I got in that thing. I saw how fast that thing could go. Put the top down the whole time. I didn't care if it rained. Bring on the rain. It wasn't mine. I didn't own it. Right? I like to believe I matured more or whatever. I was 22, 23, something like that. But what we own, we take better care of. Jesus takes the best care of us, and it says that he owns us. He is not like a hired hand who is driven by money or by self-serving interests and flees at the first sight of danger. Jesus never flees from that. He is a shepherd that stays with us at every single moment of danger and cares for that. the hired hand. He identifies the hired hand as someone that we believe that will care for us more than he will. The hired hand flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I think inside of all this, he's also saying something to us as a church. Now, certainly we need to be careful of like the external things that are going on, but we also need to be careful of like what's going on inside here. That we are caring for each other, that leadership is always looking to the good shepherd to lead. Colossians 3:12, you can read about it in Colossians, the whole chapter talks about this, but it says that we should put on compassion and kindness and humility and patience and forgiveness and bear each other's burdens. That's what we do together. That there can be external dangers to the flock, but there can also be internal strife. And if we don't put Jesus as the good shepherd first, we will see that. But if we always look to his leadership and what he wants, then we will be able to be tended to by him, and as under-shepherds, be able to tend to the flock. So he identifies dangers in front of us. He's a good shepherd. He is, verse 16, if you have your scripture, "And I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." Jesus is committed to you. He's committed to you. He's committed to the ones that are in the flock, totally committed to tending to you and caring for you, but he's also committed to the ones that aren't in the flock. Do you remember the story about the one sheep running off? What'd he do? In Luke 15, he went off what? And found it, right? A good shepherd goes and finds it. Jesus is seeking not just the ones in the fold, but also the ones that aren't in there, and he never stops calling those sheep. Matthew 18:12. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave 99 on the mountain and go search for the one that is straying? Jesus is committed to you. We live in a world that has plenty of broken commitments. Plenty. You've probably been in a situation where someone's promised you something and they didn't come through. Jesus, his promises, he comes through on every single time. Every single time. He's deeply committed to you. Because Romans 8:32 is true. God the Father, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for all of us. That's commitment. Also, verse 15. He knows you and loves you. This is a heart for you. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know my Father. Jesus is the one who totally knows you. He's the only one that totally knows you. Your spouse, my spouse, Erin, she has knowledge of me. Like, she knows me pretty well. But she doesn't know everything. You ever heard this before when you're married? You're like learning new stuff about each other all the time. Like, how is that possible? Like, there's nothing new for Jesus. He knows every single thing about your best friend, might have knowledge of you, but there is nothing compared to being known by Jesus. You can look friends, spouse, your neighbor, a stranger in the face, and they don't know everything about you, but Jesus does. He knows your deepest sorrows, your greatest joys. He knows the place that you've hidden, and you've hidden from everybody because you're afraid that should you say something about it, or should you let him in, it would be more painful. I like this quote by John Piper. It says this: "Isn't it scary to you that all your relationships are contingent on whether people don't know certain things about you? So you tremblingly walk through life hiding yourself from one relationship to the other, because if you do or say certain things, it might ruin the relationship. But isn't it even more sweet to know that if it happened to everybody in your life, it wouldn't happen to Jesus or with Jesus? And if you shared everything with him, he wouldn't run from you. He wouldn't leave you. How sweet is that?" And finally, Jesus, he is a good shepherd. His heart for you is that he lays his life down for you, for your sin. Five times in this passage, he says that he lays his life down. You know, our society is kind of enamored with this idea, laying your life down. And how do I know that? Because I watch movies. And some of the movies I remember most, like, are these moments where people had to, like, lay their life down. You remember the movie Saving Private Ryan? Remember that? A lot of people have probably seen that movie, but the gist of it is that this guy named James Ryan, his other brothers had passed away, so a group of men had to go in and get him out. Because the rule was, is I think it's like next of kin. You have to have one. And so they had to get him out. And the mission was successful. However, out of like 12 men, only two survived. And I remember watching this movie, and I remember watching these moments where the soldiers, and you've probably seen this, they would have little pictures in their pocket, and they would pull it out and look at their family. And they would contemplate, is this really what I want to do? Do I want to go on this mission? Do I want to do this? And there's a lot of contemplation. And I got to thinking about that movie, and I thought about Jesus laying his life down, and I'm so grateful that he never had to contemplate that. He never had to contemplate that for any of you. He did it willingly, voluntarily. I lay my life down for you. Jesus is not neutral about you. Jesus is not neutral about you. He loves you. John 10, 27, 28, on down in the passage, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. No one will snatch them out of my hand. When you know Jesus and you're in his fold, he will not be snatched. And no matter life or death, you are with the good shepherd. And some of us, for us, it's like realizing, we have to stop and realize, like, we're with the good shepherd. Like, we don't have to do that. Like, let him tend to you. Let him identify the things that are pulling you away from him. You are with the one who literally laid his life down for you, knowing every single part of you, every single part of your life. That's mind-blowing to me. He knew every single part of John Bales, and he said, I'm dying for you. Let that just rest on you a second. Every part of you. And he died. Your shepherd in your life is whomever or whatever you're trusting your life to. It's whoever you're counting on in your life to watch out for you and to care for you. And we must choose our shepherd wisely. You all know the famous psalm. I end with this. Psalm 23. Todd read it during prayer time, correct? Did he read it? Okay, good. Sometimes I zone out back there. You read that during prayer time, and there's one section of that you probably, you probably know most of it by heart, but this is a section that most people know by heart. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Folks, you are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death if you haven't already. You are absolutely going to walk through that valley. Who is going to shepherd you in that valley? Who is it? Who is your shepherd? Who do you trust to guide you and to tend to you when you're flipped up on your back and you need someone to turn you back on your feet? When you're cast. I want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus, into a relationship with a good shepherd. Who knows when you're anxious and fearful and defenseless and walking through the shadow of death and will tend to your every need. I want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus that says it doesn't matter what you've done, I still died for you voluntarily. And so this morning, if you're in the fold, maybe it's a moment to realize that your good shepherd has a heart for you. It's not just upstairs like a spirit, or he's not just a pale, lifeless Jesus walking around. He has a heart for you. Maybe it's just us stopping and realizing this morning. And maybe if you're not in the fold, you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can do that. You can step into a relationship with this good shepherd, and he will shepherd you all in the best ways and love you deeply. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing together.